Today's Shem Sech Baba Kama Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Shnei Kedorim, Shmehalchem Zech Hazeh. Two people carrying pitchers, one walking behind the other. V'niskal Rishon, and the first person stumbles, V'nafal, and he falls. V'niskal Hasheni V'Rishon, and then the second person trips on the first person. The halacha is harishon chai v'niskal sheni. The first person is responsible for whatever damage he did to the second person. And as the Rishonim help us understand this Mishnah, and we'll see this more clearly mitzvah Shem in the Gemara, that the point of our Mishnah is that this first individual who fell could be viewed as one of two types of mazikim. Either he could be viewed as an odom hamazik, a person who does damage, or his property doing damage, or he could be viewed as a bor. And our Mishnah, by saying that the first person is responsible for all damages that happened to the second person, not distinguishing whether it was the person himself who got hurt, or it was the garments he's wearing, packages that he's carrying, seems to be teaching us that the first person is considered a Adam Hamazik. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Yitev Masnis Rameihi. Don't say that Amish defiles the opinion of Rameya, Dama, Nisko, Pesheyahu. As we learned the other day, Machloikis, Ramei and Rabbi Yehuda, that somebody who trips, according to the opinion of Rameya, is considered, Peshey is considered that he was negligent. And that's why he's chayif. Elafil Rabbanon. Even if we follow the opinion of Yehuda, of the Rabbanon, Darmi Onus Hu, that a person who stumbles is considered an Onus. And as we explained when we learned the shir that time, that even though we know the halach is Adam Mu'ad La'olam, but if a person was an Onus Gomer, a complete Onus, the halach is that he's Potter. So don't say that Amishna can't be consistent with the opinion of the Rabbanon. Here, in our Mishnah, the Rabbanan will agree that the person who fell, who stumbled, is chayiv. Because we're referring to a situation, because this person should have gotten himself up. Even if he fell, and even if falling is considered an oinus, why didn't he get himself, pick himself up? And by not picking himself up, he falls into the category of a mazik. The Sifrei Musar used this Gemara to teach us a homiletical explanation. They say it's inevitable that a person is going to do averis. That's the nature of a human being. However, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect of us after we rachmanu l'tzlan do an avera? That we should pick ourselves up. And our Gemara teaches us that if a person doesn't pick himself up, a person should have picked himself up. If he doesn't pick himself up, that's when he's considered a posheya. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Amar ever has a different explanation of our Mishnah. Even if it's referring to a situation where he didn't have enough time to pick himself up after he fell, still, he should have warned anybody that's coming, watch out, I'm flaying here, and you're going to fall over me. And if Loi Hizir, if he didn't go through the bother of explaining somebody to the people that are coming, then he's going to be held responsible. Rabbi Yochanan, who doesn't follow Rav Nachman by Yitzchak's explanation, says, Kivin Deloi Hoyloi Lamoid, since he was obviously laying on the floor, and he wasn't able yet to pick himself up yet, lahayloi lahazir. He didn't have the opportunity to warn. If he's Nebuch laying on the floor in such a state that he can't even pick himself up, says Rabbi Yochanan, we can't expect him to have the presence of mind and the ability to warn people that are coming. The Torah, because he's preoccupied with his fall. Says the Gemara, Tanan. We're going to learn in the Mishnah on Amud Beis, where we have a situation where two people are walking, one Hayu Bal Kaira, One is carrying a beam. He's walking in front. Or Baal Chavis Akron, somebody carrying a pitcher is walking behind him. Nishbara Chavis Bekaira, if the person who is carrying the pitcher bangs in to the person in front of him who's carrying the beam, the one carrying the beam is Potter. And as we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem and Amud Beis, Rashi helps us understand the why. Because probably what happened here was, says Rashi, that they were both walking at a certain pace, keeping the distance. And then the Baal Chavis, who was walking behind the Baal Kaira, started walking quicker. And because he started walking quicker, that's why he crashed into the Baal Kaira, who's in front of him. And therefore the Baal Kaira is not held responsible. Why did you walk that quickly? However, Im Amad Baal Kaira, but if the Baal Kaira stopped, then Chayiv, he will be held responsible, because there was no way for the person behind him to know that he's stopping. And therefore he will be held responsible. Actually, the Poskim discuss that this Gemara is very relevant, La'aloch L'maisa. What will be the din if somebody's driving a car and he makes a short stop, that the person behind him had no way of knowing, he had no prior warning? So there he shouldn't be held responsible. The person behind should not be held responsible. Actually, the person in front who made the short stop should be held responsible. And actually, if we follow the din Torah, that should be the din. However, it's interesting to note, the Poskim already quoted some Sofer who had such a question. And apparently, the law is that whenever there's an accident, the person who is moving is held responsible. Even if he's the person who's not really at fault, the guy in front made a short stop, and I didn't have time to stop quick enough, it's still, apparently, at least in certain places, the law is that the person in back who is driving is held responsible. Says the Chasam Sofer, if that is actually the law, then we follow the law of the land. Even though, because of Dina de Machus Dina, even though, as we've discussed, and we'll discuss it with Hashem again, there's always a question, what is the law, what is the halacha, if the Din Torah is contrary to the Dina de Machus? And usually the halacha is that we follow the Din Torah. Here we follow the Din de Machus. Because when somebody gets a license, the Torah, the Rabbanim don't give licenses, the city gives a license. And when he gets a license, he agrees to follow the traffic laws of the city, and if that's the law, that's the law. The question could even be actually even a little deeper, because the question could be, what will be the halacha if the first person who made the short stop only short stopped because there was somebody jumping out into the street, there was a pedestrian coming, and of course he didn't want to hit that pedestrian, so he made a short stop. So actually, everything that happened here is really because of the pedestrian. So, not the first person perhaps, nor the second person should be responsible. The pedestrian should be responsible. So the Pais can say there are really two factors why the pedestrian will not be responsible. Number one, this is a situation that we've discussed already of a Grumma ben Zaken. He didn't really do any damage, he just caused damage. And we know that Grumma ben Zaken is Potter Medina Adam Chai Medina Shemayim. And furthermore, and this is a question, again, that we will not really discuss today, but we will, Mitzvah Shem, discuss. The pedestrian doesn't have insurance for jumping into the street and causing an accident. But cars, by law, have to have insurance. So since the car has insurance, and the pedestrian doesn't have insurance, the halacha is we even though his premiums are probably going to go up, we collect from the insurance. So we see, my love, what is the situation? Sha'amad l'katev. Now, why did the first person stop? He stopped because he wanted to arrange the beam that he's carrying, the rochehu, which is a very normal thing to do, v'ktari chayiv. And yet, the halach is that he's chayiv. Why is he chayiv? Even though he stopped for a very good reason, to have a leila hazir, because he should have warned the person behind him that I'm stopping. So we see that Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak's explanation is very right. That Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that wherever you have the ability to warn, you should warn. And if you don't warn, you will be held responsible. Isn't that what the Mishnah on Amud Beis is teaching us? Says Merloi, that's not what the Mishnah is referring to. Kish Amud Lofish. It's referring to a situation where the first person stopped, not because he had the beam was falling out of place and he had to rearrange it. He stopped because he wanted to take a rest. And here we have a machlokes rishonim. Why is taking a rest, oimed lofush, different than oimed lakatif? Rashi explains that oimed lofush is not normal situation. People don't stop who are carrying packages in the middle of Shus Rabim. I'm about to take a nap. I'm taking a rest. So since it's Mishunah, it's law of Urchei, he's held responsible. The Mukhi Yosef gives a different explanation. The Mukhi Yosef says as follows. Rav Nachman Yitzchak told us that if a person never falls down, he doesn't have the presence of mind to warn the people behind him, watch out. Similarly, if a person stops because he's stopping Lakatef to arrange the baggages, again, he doesn't necessarily have the presence of mind to tell people behind him, watch out. But if a person's stopping because he's oimed lofush, just because he wants to take a rest, so it's not such a pressurized situation, and that individual, even Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak agrees, ha'olei lahazir, should warn the people behind him, watch out. And if he doesn't, then he's going to be held responsible. But if he does warn them, then he's not going to be held responsible. As Tosfos, Al Gemara is drawing a distinction between somebody who's oimed lekatef, that he's not held responsible if he stops, versus if he's oimed lofush, that if he's held responsible. So as Tosfos, I'm walking behind somebody who's carrying this beam. How am I supposed to know if he was oimed lekatef, and then he doesn't have to warn me? Or he was oimed lofush and he does have to warn me. He's stopping. So Taisus says a chiddush, and that's the way you have to learn the Gemara, that it's noticeable to a person if he's stopping lakatef or he's stopping lofush. It will be noticeable to me, and therefore the person behind him, and therefore if he's oimed lakatef, he'll be potter, and if he's oimed lofush, he'll be chayiv. Loi, says the Gemara, it's talking about a case, Shom and Lofush, that the person in front stopped to rest, and that's why he's chayif. Av omud l'katef, but what would be the din if he stopped just to arrange his bag? Potter, he would indeed be potter. Ask the Gemara, if that's the din, let's continue learning the Mishnah. Adetani Sefer, what does it say in the Sefer? V'omaloi l'bal abayis amoid, l'bal chavis, if the Baal Kaira gives adequate warning to the person behind him to stop, potter. Ask the Gemara, the Mishnah could have made an easier distinction. Lifnik v'listim b'dido. B'med v'armamurim, when is there a problem? K'shoymed lofush. Ava oim l'katef. But if the person in front stops because he has to arrange his packaging, potter. Then he would be potter. Says the Gemara, hokamashmon. That's what the Mishnah wants to teach us. That afagav d'omid lofush. And we would think that oimed lofush, the Baal will always be responsible, teaches us it's only as long as he didn't give warning. However, if the person stopped, even though he didn't stop for a very good reason, but as long as he gives warning, he will be potter. And where is this relevant? Again, the Paiskim say it's very relevant. Let's say I stop my car on the avenue and double park, but I put on my hazard lights. So it makes no difference why I stopped. Even though I didn't double park for good reason. I just double parked because I wanted to talk on the phone. I could have easily, or should have easily, looked for a parking place. Or I stopped for another unimportant reason. As long as I put on my warning lights, that's lahazir. And if somebody will bang into me, he will be held responsible. Toshma. So more attempts a different proof. It says, Hagdorim va'azagigim. Hagdorim are people that carry pitchers. Hazagigim are people that carry glass. Shaymahachan Zazah, that were walking one behind the other. Niskal Harishan v'nafal. The first person tripped and fell. V'niskal Hasheni v'rishan. And the second individual tripped on the first person. And v'ashlishi, then a third individual b'sheni. Rishan chai v'niski sheni. The first person is responsible for what happened to the second person. V'sheni chai v'niski shlishi. The second individual is responsible for what happened to the third individual. However, for Machmas Rishon Naflu, but if they fell because of the first person, and the Gemara in Amud Beis will explain what this case was, then Rishon Chai Beniski Kulam, the first person is responsible for what happens to all of them. However, V'Mesirizuzu, how, when will we have this issue if they didn't warn each other? However, if warning was given, then Peturim, they will not be held responsible. Again, says the Gemara, my laugh, isn't this Brisa referring to a situation, Shloihoylam Lamed, that they weren't able to get up, and yet the Brisa teaches us, maybe you can't get up, but you have to give warning. Exactly what Rabbi Yochanan said, says the Gemara Loi, Shloihoylam Lamed, that they weren't able to get up. They were able to get up. Since they were able to get up, if they didn't get up, at least you should give warning. So you're not in such bad shape. You're able to get up. So even for whatever reason you didn't get up, you should give warning. Aval, however, loy hoyelam lamed, if they were in such a shape that they were unable to get up, my, then the din would be potter, even if they didn't give warning. Ask the Gemara if that's the way to understand the brisa. Let's continue learning that brisa. Yoch adetani ha-sefer. Instead of the sefer teaching us that his heroes as a potter, that if they gave warning to one to the other, they would be potter. The brisa could have even given us an easier example. Lifnik v'listen b'didah. V'medva mamurim. When can one be responsible for the other in a situation? Shahayilam lamad. That they were able to get up. Avaloi hayilam lamad. If they were unable to get up, then they'll always be potter. Says the Gemara, the brisa wants to teach us a different chiddush, similar to what we learned in the Mishnah before. Hakamashman. The brisa wants to teach us. Davakav dehayilam lamad. They were able to get up. So we would think, if you're able to get up, get up! And nothing else should be acceptable. Teaches us the Brisa, that even if you didn't get up, as long as you give proper warning, kiziru zezeh, if you give proper warning, peturim, that is adequate. So we learned, and now the Gemara is going to focus on this Brisa. Amarava, rishon chayiv v'niski sheni, the first one is chayiv to what happens to the second one, bein v'niski gufoy, bein v'niski memoinai. Whether the person himself or his garment or what he was carrying got damaged. Sheni chai b'niski shlishi, but the second one, responsibility toward the third individual, is only niski gufoy, al v'loi b'niski memoinai. Only what happens to the person, but not what happens to his kelim. So what's Poshup shot in the brisa? Before we get into it, and we'll use this as a word of introduction. We've been discussing, there's an Adam Hamazik, and there's a Mazik which is called Adam, and there's a Mazik which is called Bor. One of the primary differences between an Adam Hamazik and a Bor Hamazik is the obligation towards Kalim. As we've learned from Psukim, a Bor is not Chayiv for Kalim. Adam Hamazik is considered Chayiv for Kalim. So we learned the Brisa at first glance, before we get into the Gemara, it seems that the Brisa is teaching us that the first person who fell is considered a Adam Hamazik, and since he's considered Adam Hamazik, he's going to be responsible to the damage done both to the person, the second person, or to the second person's Kalim, whereas the second person who fell is only considered a Bor, and therefore he's responsible to the damage that he does to an individual, but he's not Chayiv to what happened to his Kalim. Ask the Gemara if that's the way to understand Manavshach. In this go, Poshayahu, if, going back to what we discussed, the Machloikus of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, that a person who falls is considered Poshayah, so then, Shani Nami L'chayiv. Somebody who stumbles is considered Adam HaMazik, and since he's an Adam HaMazik, he's Chayiv for everything. So the Shani should be Chayiv even for the Kalim of the Shlishi. If, on the other hand, Niska la Poshayahu, he's not considered a Poshaya. It's considered that it was an accident. So then I feel a Rishon Nami Lifter. then the halacha ought to be that the first one who fell is only in the category of a bar, and he should therefore only be chayiv to the damage done to the body of the second person, not to the kalim of the second person. Says the Gemara, Rishon vade pesheihu. The first person who fell is considered a pesheya. Sheni, agu, the second person, cannot be considered as much as a mazik as the first person. Agufei mechayif, damage that he does to somebody else's guf, he's chayif for. The havelei lamed, because he should have immediately gotten up. The loyamad, if he didn't get up, he's responsible. However, a memoine potter, he's not chayif for mamin, domalei hai bir lava nakarisi. And there are many pshatim and how to understand the Gemara. We're going to follow the explanation of Rashi. We learned on Daf Lamed or Chavtes a distinction that the Gemara made where if the person falls, if the bar was created through a oinus versus a bar that was created through a pshia, and that there's a higher level of responsibility by something created by pshia versus something that was created by oinus. And that's the way to understand the Gemara. The first person is considered a posheya, and therefore his level of responsibility is both to Adam v'Kalim. The second person is only considered a oinus, and therefore his level of responsibility is only to Adam, but not to Kalim. Ask the Gemara, Meisvei, it says in a Braisa differently, it says, Kula chayovim. Again, in this situation where one person fell and he created a series of people falling, Kula chayov al niske gufen, all the people who fell, the first person, the second person, whoever, are going to be responsible for damage they do to someone's guf, upaturim, however, going to be exempt for damage they do al niske memoinam, to the moment of someone else. My laugh, isn't the Braisa teaching us a filarishan? So we just finished explaining that the Rishon is considered a Pesheya, and since he's considered a Pesheya, he's chai both to damage that he does to someone's guf or to someone's kalim. But this Braisa seems to be teaching us that no, that even the first person who fell, seemingly because this Braisa holds the niskal oinasu, and since he's considered an oinus, he's only chayiv for the damage that he did to someone else's guf, but not for the damage that he did to someone else's kalim. Contrary to what Rav is teaching us. Loi. So tomorrow, no, that's not the way to understand this braisa. The braisa that's saying that there's only responsibility for damage done to guf, but not for damage done to mamon, is talking to all the other people in this series of individuals who fell one behind the other. Labam Merishin. The first one is in a different category. His level of responsibility is so much higher. Ask the Gemara, but that's not what the Braisa said. For Kulam Ktani, the Braisa says that all of the people who fell are treated the same way. Here, you're trying to suggest, ask the Gemara, that we're going to differentiate between the first person who fell versus all the other individuals who fell. Amar of Adbrahava, what the word Kulam means here is Kulan HaNazakim. All the individuals who got hurt. That means everybody besides the first person. The first person didn't get hurt. The first person only did damage. The other individuals are individuals who hurt and also hurt others. And that's who the Braisa is talking to. Says the Gemara, that's not an acceptable explanation. Hi, Mai. That's not an acceptable explanation of the Braisa given the wording of the Braisa. Why? Because E. Amrit Bishlama, if we would explain that the Braisa is referring to Afilu Rishon, even to the first individual that fell, so then the word Kulan is very, Hanin Dektani Kulan, the word Kulan that the Braisa uses is very understandable. It's talking to all the people that fell, that all of them have the same din. Eli Amrit, if we're saying that the Braisa is differentiating between the first person, because he is only an individual that caused damage, not an individual that was damaged himself, there's no one that he could call to collect damages. He fell. If we're saying that the Braisa is talking to everybody else besides the first individual, all the individuals who got hurt, so why Kulan? Why does the Braisa use the word Kulan, which is a very misleading word, which
does lead us to believe that it's referring even to the first individual, the Braisa should have used a much sharper word. Lifni hanazakin, that I'm talking only about the people who got hurt. The fact that the Braisa chose the wording of kulon, not the wording of hanazakin, clearly indicates that it's also speaking to the first person. So we're back to where we started. Isn't that different than what we're learning? Ella, Amarava, Rishon Chayiv, Bein Beniske Gufa Desheni, Bein Beniske Mamona Desheni. The first individual is responsible for any damage that happens to the second person. Desheni, Chayiv Beniske Shlishi, the second one is Chayiv in the third person, Beniske Gufa, Avala Beniske Mamona. Only what happens to the person himself, not to his mamon. My Tama, his mamon meaning is Kalim. Because Mam Havle Bar, the second person is considered a bar. We have to say that that's the halacha. Says the Gemara, Hanicha l'Shmuel. This, to call the second person, asked the Gemara, a bar. To call the second person, so first of all, so how do we understand the Braisa? Before we go further, the way we understand the Braisa is that the Braisa is only talking about Niske Gufay. And in Nuske Gufay, they're all the same. Where is there a difference between the first and the second? Only regarding Niske Mimoina. Why? Because we're calling the first person an Adam HaMazik, and we're calling the second person a Bar HaMazik. Ask the Gemara, Hanich L'Shmuel, Damakalta Kalabaru. This understanding would work according to Shmuel, that says that it makes no difference how we have a Bar. Because if we'll recall, we had a machloikus Rav and Shmuel, which was really, as we said, a machloikus tanoim. What is considered a bar? Rav's opinion was that only something that's hefker is considered a bar. Shmuel's opinion is that a bar doesn't have to be something that's hefker. The case of bar is hefker reshusoi v'lo hefker bayroi is also in the category of bar. So says the Gemara, hanich l'shmuel, that says that even if you weren't mafker, the obstacle, it's still can be considered a bar. Dharma called takala baru, that calls every takala bar. So there we could understand why the second individual is considered only a bar. We could call a person, even though a person has never mafka himself, we could call him a bar. Elul Rav. But according to Rav's explanation, Dharma, that says, e afkri in, only if you were mafka the obstacle does it get the category of bar. Eloi, but if you weren't mafka the obstacle, loy, it doesn't get the category of bar. Michael Amemer. So the question is, how can we call the second person a bar? He's not a bar. He's a person. A person has never mafka himself. And according to Rav, if the obstacle isn't hefker, it can't be given the din of a bar. Says the Gemara. Loylan kan mekamri kara. We have to go back to our first explanation. Our first explanation had a difficulty because we said, that how do we reconcile the braisa that says kula chayavim? Tirgur of Adam and Yumi Kamed Ravina, Shehazuka Kalim Bekalim. It's not that the braisa is not referring to Adam doing damage, and then there's going to be a difference between the first or the second person, because we can't differentiate between the first person and the second person. Because the first person is a person, and the second person is a person, we can't call him a bar. We're talking about the Kalim. The kalim of the first person will be considered, will all be chayiv. They're all going to be the same. Because the first one is considered a mazik biyodayim, because he was on b'yishaya. The second one is an oinus. Omamar. So the Braisa said, in machmas rishon naflu. However, if they fell all because of the first individual, then the aloch is, the Rishon Chayiv Beniske Kulam. He will be held responsible for everything. Ask the Gemara, Machmas Rishon Heichi Nafal. What does that mean, that they all fell because of the first person? How does that work? So, Rapap Amma, the Paskil Orchi Kishilda. The first person fell flat in a way that he blocked the entire width of the road. So anybody that trips is really tripping because of the first person who's blocking passage of the road. Razur Amma, it isn't like a straight stick, it's kechutra de smaisa, like the stick that a blind person carries. And here we have three different opinions in the Rishonim how to understand this Gemara. Rashi says that there's really no difference between Rav Papa's explanation and Rav Zvid's explanation. Just giving different wording for the same situation, that the person fell flat, lacking the whole road. Tosfos says that there is a difference. He says there's a difference when a person falls flat straight, which is the first case of Rav Papa, versus when a person falls slanty. He says when a person falls flat, so everybody behind him will be able to see. So maybe the second person didn't see the first person fall, but the third person certainly saw, and he should be not chayy for the third person. However, if he fell slanty, so the person that fell at the top doesn't see what happened at the bottom, or vice versa. That's why that will be the case, that they're all going to be considered that they fell because of the first person. Namuki Yosef takes a totally different approach. Because both we follow Rashi's approach or Tosfos' approach, they both have an approach that involves that the first person who fell flat across the road. According to the Namuki Yosef's explanation, what happened here was that the first case, Rav Papa's explanation, he follows like Rashi and Tosfos, that the first person fell flat, blocking the road. But according to the Muki Yosef, Rav Zvid is talking about where we have a whole lineup of blind people. And the first person is carrying a walking stick that a blind person carries. And for whatever reason, the stick fell and he fell. Now they're all attached, they're all, so to speak, connected to the first person. And once he falls, they're all going to fall because of him. And that's the case of the Braisa, where the first person will be responsible not only for the person behind him, for everybody in the row behind. Says the Mishnah. Zeba b'chavitoy v'zeba b'karosoy. One person is carrying a barrel, a pitcher. One person is carrying a beam. Nishbar kadosh al zeh b'karosoy shal zeh. And they collide, and one breaks to each other, potter. Then neither party will be chayiv. The carrier of the beam will not be held responsible for breaking the pitcher, because they both had the same permission. They both have permission to walk this way, and if they banged into each other, there's not going to be any responsibility. However, as we learned in Amun Aleph, if the person carrying the beam was walking in front, or behind them was walking a person carrying a pitcher, and nishbar chavos b'karosoy, and then the person carrying the pitcher crashes into the person carrying the beam, potter b'al kayor. The person carrying the beam is potter. And as we explained, Rashi explanation is, because probably what happened here was that the person in front was walking at a regular pace. The person behind started walking quicker. And that's why he didn't keep the distance. And that's why he banged into the guy in front of him. And that's why the person in front of him is not chayiv. That's Rashi's explanation. Muki Yosef seems to explain that the person behind him did something mishunah. He did something not proper. And that's why the first person is absolved. What's the nafkamina between Rashi and the Namuki Yosef? So the Achronim point out, what would be if the first person all of a sudden slowed down? The way Rashi explained the Mishnah is that the first person kept his pace, and the second person all of a sudden started walking quicker. So why did you start walking quicker? Why did you not keep the distance? So that's why the person up front is not chayiv. But what would be the din if that's not what happened? The second person kept the pace. It's the first person that changed the pace. It seems, it's machlokes achroinim. Some achroinim hold that according to Rashi, that then the first person would be held responsible. There are other achroinim that say that even according to Rashi, even if the first person slowed down, the person behind them should react, like when we drive. If the person in front of me slows down, I'm supposed to slow down. And look, even according to Rashi, if the first person slowed down, the person behind him should also accordingly slow down. And if he didn't slow down, even if he just kept the same pace that he kept all along, the first person will be potter. According to the Muki Yosef, it'll certainly be potter. The first person will be potter. Vim Omar, Bal Kaira. If the person in front stopped short, as I discussed at the beginning of the shiur, Chayiv. However, if he gave ample warning, Amar Lebal Chavis, he's stopping, but he gives ample warning to the person behind him, Amoir, stop, I'm going to stop, Potter. And as we explained, just to review, Amish is referring to a situation where he was Oymed Lofush, that he stopped to rest, which as we explained is an abnormal situation, or is a situation where he could have the presence of mind to give warning. But if he stopped Lekatef, again, with Tosfos' explanation, a person behind somebody stopping Lekatef will notice that he's stopping Lekatef, and he will not be Chayiv, even if he didn't give any warning. Continues the Mishnah. We had a reverse situation. If the person in the front was the one carrying the pitcher, about Kaira Achran, and the person carrying the beam was walking behind them, Nishbra Chavis B'Kaira, here it's just the opposite, where the person behind, we follow Rashi's explanation, started walking quicker, and because he walked quicker, he collided with the person in front of him, so then he'll be Chayiv for breaking the person in front of his pitcher. However, Im Ovid Bal Chavis, if the person carrying the pitcher stopped suddenly, and that's why the person carrying the beam behind him collided into him, then he would be Potter. However, from Ahmed Labal Kaira, if the person in front stops to give, is going to stop, but he gives warning to the person behind him, then Chayiv, if the person behind him didn't stop, but instead continue walking, colliding into him, will be Chayiv. Says the Mishnah, became Zeba B'nei V'Zeba Pishtanai. The same thing will be if one person's carrying a candle and one person's carrying flax, the same thing will apply that they have to give proper warning. So the Taisus Yontif and other Achroidim already asked, why does the Mishnah have to teach us the same thing applies B'nei Reb Pishtanai? Why would I think it's different? So the simplest answer is the answer of the Taisus Yontif himself. He says as follows, if everybody will continue acting properly, one person walking with a barrel, with a pitcher, and one person walking with a beam is not really a very dangerous, potentially dangerous situation. And therefore, we could understand that if they didn't do what was right, they should be chayiv. And if they did what's right, they're potter. However, when candles, fire, and linen are a very dangerous combination. And therefore, we would think that the halacha requires a higher level of shmirah. And it's not even sure who has to have the higher level of shmirah. Maybe the person carrying the candle requires a higher level, that he has to be more careful. Maybe the person carrying the pishtun, who knows that he's carrying an item which is very flammable, has to have a higher level of shmirah. But whatever we say, it's a much more dangerous situation. So perhaps we would think that the din changes, that each one of them, or maybe both of them, have to have a higher level of shmirah. Teaches us the Mishnah that even though they're moving into a very dangerous situation, the halacha doesn't change. Another pshat goes to something we'll discuss in Mitzvah Shem tomorrow's shir, that Rish Lakish helps us understand that the Mishnah is referring to a case that the person who's carrying the chavis, the person who's carrying the kaira that stopped in such a way, similar to what we learned in the previous Gemara, that he's blocking the entire road. That's why he's going to be held responsible if the person behind him collides into him. But let's say he stopped in a way that he didn't block the entire road, then he could say to the person behind him, you should have walked around me instead of walking into me. So that's easier to understand when you're carrying a beam. A beam is a very wide thing, so we could understand how a beam will fill up a road. But how will candles fill up the whole road? Says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, that it's possible that somebody's carrying so many candles that he's blocking the entire road, and that's when if he stops suddenly, is he chayiv. And if he's not carrying that kind of candle, then again, he could say to the person behind him, you should have walked around me instead of walking into me.